We're about to embark on our candidates forum. So I respectfully ask everyone to pipe down. Thank you.
Such a good bunch of greens.
Okay, so basically for the next hour, we're going to have that time divided evenly between the candidates that are here with us today, and I will invite them up one by one just to introduce them so you can get a good look at them, and then everyone except the first one to speak, and it's in alphabetical order out of absolute fairness, will sit down and wait their turn. So just dividing up the next hour, we're looking at about, I would say at this point, since we're running late, maybe about 7 minutes per candidate. I have something to say before we get started on that, which is very brief, but I know Michael had a couple of announcements. So, Michael?
Hey, folks. Folks, can I have your attention for a moment? I want to compliment Laurel Wells and Kit Cretien for not only paying for the stuff they took off the table, but they actually left a small bonus donation for the Green Party. All the money of the materials that Barry has and Laura has and the Green Party has here go right back into building us. And I must ask you, please, don't take anything off of the table unless you leave money or leave legible information on the sheet with a phone number so that I, in a very nonviolent way, I may bug you about paying later.
We just need, if you're going to take more than one copy of the Screen Focus, they cost us about $35 per 100. So we really do need you to contribute that so we can continue to put these out.
Oh, and also on Green Focus, underneath in the boxes, there are registration forms, the generic ones for Secretary of State. These Green Focuses are designed that out on your tables and in your wanderings, if you stuff a registration form in each Green Focus, hopefully someone else will register green, and that'll be talked about more in our tomorrow morning strategy session. So the message we're giving you is pay.
Absolutely. We have plenty of contribution envelopes over here. Everybody should take at least one. I hope to not be carrying any of them back to San Francisco with me. Take the contribution envelopes. Our party needs it in order to operate. The registration form. Don't just hand them out with the Green Focus. I mean, do that. But if our party is going to grow, I think every Green ought to be asking at least one person to register Green. Maybe more. We have lots of friends, et cetera, who you know that their politics are similar to ours. Let's ask them. Thanks.
Okay, so before we get started, I just wanted to say something briefly. Today is September 11th. I know we all know that, but I just can't think of a place I'd rather be on this day of infamy, you know, than here. Even with all of our bickering, but, you know, our ideals and our values, which we need to put ahead of everything else, is so paramount and so necessary. So I'd like to ask for another moment of silence in remembrance of those we've lost on 9/11 and thereafter. Okay, thank you for that. We really need to be the party of peace, inside and out. So without further ado, I'm going to bring up our candidates. Excuse me. So we're just going to go in alphabetical order. So running for state treasurer, we have Kit Crittenden. Crittenden. And everyone's just going to come and line up for a moment. Just stand here. Next, running for State Assembly District Number 53, we have Lisa Green. Next, running for State Assembly District Number 39, we have Jack Lindblad. Then running for State Assembly Number 41, District Number 41, we have Linda Piera Avila. Oh, what are you saying to me? Okay. I can't tell what you're saying. Running for State Assembly District Number 72, we have Jane Rand. Running for U.S. Senate, we have Dwayne Roberts. And last but certainly not least, we have our own Laura Wells running for governor. Okay, this is part of your Green Party slate. Give them some love. I need everyone except for Kit to go ahead and take your seats, and we'll call you up after each candidate has their moment. And let's go for about, let's say, 5 or 6 minutes, because we're kind of running short on time. You know, if you can condense it, if you need a little bit more, we'll work it out. And so now we have Kit Crittenden.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm running for treasurer, as you have been told. And I want to talk about... Can I go? Thanks. Okay, here we go. Yeah. All right. Hey, I'm Kit Crittenden. Glad to be here and glad to be running. Great honor. Unexpected as it was. I'm a former professor of philosophy at Cal State Northridge and sort of yanked out of the study in my my books and such to be in front of an audience and talking out and this and that. Not sure that being a professor is the greatest preparation for being a candidate, but I think I have some things to say. Well, first about my campaign. I've talked in the various fora where I had a chance to speak, a couple of TV appearances, a couple of occasions to speak, and there were a couple of occasions to fill out questionnaires and so on. These opportunities arise, and you have to be ready for them. At least I found I had to be ready for them sort of in an impromptu way. But I've learned to say some things about the office of treasurer and what I can hopefully bring to it. And one of the things is to talk about taxes and where taxes can be increased. Corporations can be taxed, for example, that are not being taxed. For example, gas. There's no oil extraction tax in the state of California, which is ridiculous. So Chevron pays no oil extraction taxes, although it's based in California and takes its gas from us on our land. So we need to close that loophole. And there's the matter of a state bank. Laura has talked about that. It's very important. Obama has called for a national bank in a talk just recently. We need a state bank where state money can be deposited and distributed according to state needs. And we don't have some grotesque CEO salary that we have to pay and so on. So those are the kinds of things that need to be. And there are other things I talked about. But I wanted to say something else about, I think, the role of a candidate like myself, who's after all running for a relatively minor position in the state office scenario, and that is this. What is the role of the Green Party in American politics? Where do we stand? And this is a message I think that can be delivered, particularly by a candidate like myself, who's, as I say, running for one of the lesser offices. Now, the Green Party doesn't take contributions, which is a great advantage. And we're not beholden to the corporate powers, and we're not required to follow their lead, and so on. Very important. But beyond that, the Democrats and Republicans do take corporate money. They are in a complex, a matrix that they have accepted. There are a lot of issues on which they have tacitly agreed. In fact, I was at a Democratic political rally a few days ago, and there was a man holding a sign, Democrats equal Republicans. And he listed about seven different items that where the Democrats and Republicans agree with each other and don't disagree at all. Now, let me just mention some of these. I didn't get his exact list, but these are some of the ones that he did have, and I had some more. They have the same position on the war in Iraq and Iran, Afghanistan, hopefully not Iran. So this is just a policy that's been carried on from Obama, the Democrats, the Republicans, the Democrats, and they don't disagree on that. It's ridiculous. They have the same position on United States imperialism and expansionism. They both agree that America should be the number one power in the world. And so any chance the United States gets, it adds in power. It puts in another base. We have 800 so bases that the Democrats are not challenging at all, which is ridiculous. Outside the United States, inside we've got one base, that's the United States. And this goes along with the general position that the military is allowed to have by these two parties in the country. Military spending is increased. The size of the army is, kept stable, is not decreased. Oh, can I say a couple more things? Oh, God. But in any case, there's a number of issues where the Democrats and Republicans agree on the station of the military, the position of capitalism. Capitalism is not questioned. When a crisis comes, who gets bailed out? The banks, the corporations, not the people. So these are policies that we need to challenge as a party that can stand outside this complex, this agreed, this matrix that they've accepted. We, in the campaign, we have the great opportunity to speak truth to this complex and to try and challenge it and to make our case. Even we won't be elected, perhaps, most likely, but we can still make the case and try and persuade people gradually to come and adopt a different point of view. And that's the message that we should have, that there's much more at stake here than the particular issues with regard to positions and the like. It's a general view of life. It's a view of democracy. It's a view of what politics can do for the country. So that's what we should keep in mind, I think, as we go into this election. Thank you very much.
What did you say? Okay. So future office holders, when you're done, stay in position in front of the mic for about 5 seconds. It's just, you know, for the clapping effect for video. Also, there's a cup of water right here on the table. If folks get thirsty, you know, if your throat gets super dry, there's water right here on your right. And also for a timekeeper, kind of keep an eye contact with our timekeeper right here to your left, and she'll give you a little bit warning, like, you know, we're about to wrap it. So a little hand, yeah. Right, yes. Look at the hand of the timekeeper. Okay, so coming up next, we are happy to have Lisa Green running for Assembly District 53.
Good afternoon, Green Party of California. I am Lisa Green of the 53rd District. Yes, I was born Lisa Green. I have always been green in my heart, registered Green Party 2008. But in my heart, I've always been green, and I'm ready for us to take it to the next level. I'm a visual person. I'd like to say also, I'm extremely excited about this because I can see the future. And thank you for your work in the Green Party. The seeds that you planted of this tree is sprouting, and it's growing. We're positioning this party to be a key player in a democracy in this country and the globe. So thank you for that. As the State Assembly candidate for the 53rd District, that includes Venice, where my base is, Mar Vista, a big portion of West LA, and LAX down below that, South Bay, so you get a picture along the coast. It's a rather liberal thinking area. Democrats have been in the seat. It's an open seated race. The incumbent is termed out. Just to give you a little background, there were 13 of us running in the primary, most of them Democrats, one Republican, one Libertarian. Myself and one Democrat are now on the November 2nd ballot. We were in 6 primaries. Each time, through the support of my fellow LA Greens and others among many parties and independents, I gained more and more popularity, and at the very last one, just to let you know, people walked up to me that were many Democrats and said, mainly progressives, if my candidate doesn't make it in the primary, I'm voting for you. And their candidate didn't make it, the machine candidate, Betsy Butler, did. So I am preparing to be elected November 2nd. Why? Because I live the 10 key values every day. As an artist in Venice, I am there with the 10 key values, and I'll show you a video for those of you that are interested in seeing it, promoting the Green Party, registering people, getting them engaged and invited and empowered to know that you don't have to vote for the lesser two evils. You can vote your conscience, which is the Green Party. And especially in my district, I can speak for it. They're ready for a change, and they sense my truth and my commitment to the values. Now, of course, I am born Lisa Green, but, you know, I mean it, and I live it every day, to the point where I went to the Durham National Meeting when I began this journey as a candidate, and I announced I was a homeless person. I have lived homeless since July 2009 because I believe that no one is homeless on planet Earth. People are houseless. And I commit to everyone on this planet that I will not live in a home that I own until everyone that wants a house has it on this planet. So I will be asking you to give me shelter for the rest of this journey until everyone is taken care of. So for Arizona Green Party and all over our country that want to use a homeless person as the Green Party candidate, you have me here as Lisa Green, okay? Social justice is what I push all the time. Justice, not only social justice, but obviously holistic justice, environmental, economic, and social. But if, like I tell everyone, if you don't have the basics, if you don't have shelter and you don't have the food and you don't have the water, you can't think about putting a piece of trash in the trash can. So we have to work together to cross our bridges, get past our little differences that we have in our own party, and reach beyond ourselves. I see it happening just in a year since I've been really active. I've seen so many of you, and I would love to kiss you all for this, working together and getting past your differences to build this party. Because this is not just a party we know, it's a movement. That's why you started this. It's going to pay off. I feel it. I see it. I am so excited right now. I'm shaking, and I want to do some Zumi dancing later, okay? So I love you, and please come to me. Give me your pointers. I'm looking for subject experts, building my legislative team, and we're going to take this all the way around the globe. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Just a friendly reminder, at the end of your speech, just stay in front of the mic. I know you're like ready to bolt when you're done. I know that feeling. But just try and hang in there for 5 seconds so we get a good visual. Okay, coming up next, we have Jack Lindblad running for Assembly District number 39.
I'm raising everybody's expectations because I think to give you a chronology, I'm sure everyone knows that we started in the 60s and we left and Mike Feinstein went to Europe and the rest is history. And he's embarrassed, but this is through my lens. This is, I'm in my district, in my world, in, you know, I know in 2029 there's going to be a huge crater, possibly, right off the coast here in Santa Monica. So I want to warn people. I view myself as trying to save the world, and I think so does Lisa. And that's why I'm running, because we've gotten so far removed from balance, as Lisa says. Lisa's inspiring me. I think we're channeling, but... it is a zeitgeist that we don't know how close we are to the environmental cliff of 8 billion, 10 billion people. Does anybody want to have, shoot a carrying capacity of the Earth? We're at 4 Earths, the consumptive level. You have to put pails in your bathtub when you take a shower. I'm going to start to do that. They've already been in the sink for a year. We're on water rationing. Stephen Chu says that he doesn't understand. He doesn't see that California's agriculture will be sustainable in the future, nor will its urban centers. So as an architect, I'm well away from the coast because of not only environmental problems, but perhaps asteroids, who knows, that will thread the needle and come back in 2036 for a sure hit. Just the other day, we don't know how close we are to oblivion. That's the whole point. We're so in enthused with the idea of consciousness. We are, through our penile glands, conduits of consciousness. And the oil-addicted society has to stop in Sacramento. That's why I'm going to Sacramento, to stop the oil-addicted lobbyist money being paid to kill us all. All this technology is within our grasp today. To consume less, to be frugal, that's the good thing for having a great disruption and a double dip, because it's our opportunity. I've written articles about this, that we can harmonize, and Elisa's right, we can have the great population know that everybody has got to help each other. There's no way out. Right now, we're still kind of isolated from each other, and there needs to be more interaction. I don't know. And I have a particularly unique opponent who works harder than most in Sacramento in allowing lobbyists to author, sponsor, and, well, write the legislation and take credit. Well, that's not what the electeds were elected to do. He shirked his duty. And he's not alone. It's very common. Over 40% of the legislation in Sacramento comes from lobbyist interest. And that has to stop. So I don't think I could top my previous call to mix it up with the lobbyists and accept no lobbyist money at all. That's what distinguishes us. That's what 12 years ago failed us. And if we're really going to show ourselves as a partisan force, then we have to toe that line. And so I have a lot. I have three different speeches that I brought with me today. I view it kind of like a collegial gathering. So, I've been shunned by neighborhood councils. They're wise to me. For instance, I last 2 years that I ran, this is a back-to-back race that I ran last time. I got 8%. This time, there's no Republican running. So it's a man, it's one-to-one. And he's the head of the Appropriations Committee, and he is coming down. So so the idea is that anybody can get lost in their speech in this one. I think three major things that I need to think about is that I'm not going to let anybody, and this is very important, that who wants a job gets a job. It has to be in a green-based economy, but jobs is the number one issue. Education is also, with jobs, very important to reverse the prison spending and the quality of life. L.A. ranks at the bottom of air quality and water quality. So I see the time seems much longer. I'll try to wrap up. And it's only because, again, I'm going to do the mantra again, it's only because the lobbyists are in control. And we have to, one at a time, wrest control. It's the third house. That's what the lobbyists consider themselves. And it's nothing for people interests. It's all one science versus another science, the paid science versus the academic science. And what always wins is the paid science. And we're going to prove them different this time. Well, I need your vote. I need your support. Anyone's in the 39th district, and I see a couple folks, we're really going to surprise you this time. So thanks a lot.
Okay, coming up next, we have Linda Piera Avila running for Assembly District Number 41. Hi, how's everybody doing today? Good, good. Thanks to everybody for coming to our state party plenary meeting. I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself and my district and issues I'm running on. I'm running for the 41st District, which goes from Santa Monica all the way up to Ventura County, Oxnard and Ventura County, and then it goes from Malibu over to the San Fernando Valley, including some of the cities in the San Fernando Valley, Woodland Hills, and other cities. It's a huge district. There are almost 500,000 people in the district that this representative is the assembly person for. And I have been a 30-year resident of that district. So I'm familiar with the issues that people face there. I've lived my whole life there. I'm happy to say I've received the endorsements of the LA Greens, the Ventura County Greens, the San Fernando Valley Greens, and the Green Party of Los Angeles County. Thank you. And I've been a member of the Green Party for 20 years. Yeah, since 1990. Yeah, I registered at a powwow in Ventura County since 1990. Thank you. Thank you. I'm an elected member of the Green Party of Los Angeles County. I'm a Green Party of the United States delegate, a national delegate. And last year I was appointed by the Santa Monica City Council to serve on the Santa Monica Urban Forest Task Force, one of seven people out of about 25 applicants. And I'm also a member of the PICO Neighborhood Association, our local neighborhood organization. I have been an environmental peace and social justice activist, and I've also advocated for electoral reforms that will advance our Green Party platform. These include, as you know, ecological wisdom, nonviolence, and social justice. And in recent years, I became very involved with the South Central Farmers and their movement to save the largest urban farm in Los Angeles, 14 acres, which was unfortunately bulldozed and the farmers were evicted in 2006, 4 years ago. But the struggle continues to reclaim that. One of the best expressions of our Green Party key value of community-based economics is the local food movement, and I think that is best exemplified by the South Central Farmers. As cheap oil becomes more scarce and pesticide-induced pollution becomes more prevalent and agribusiness, corporate power becomes more pervasive, I think it's really incumbent upon us to promote local food sovereignty, organic farming, community-supported agriculture, and food co-ops. Thank you. Now, what do I see in a Green Party future? I will promote a new triple bottom line, taking into equal consideration environmental stewardship and social responsibility, as well as economics, where indicators like the environmental benefits of an urban forest and a community's health statistics are valued just as highly as the GDP. I envision a permaculture-inspired diversity of functional relationships. I love that concept, diversity of functional relationships. So how do we get there? Okay, addressing the three prongs of this triad, let's start with economics, something that's on everybody's mind these days. In keeping with the Green Party's key value of future focus, I will vote to balance the budget and restore our state's vital services, like education, by revising the tax code so that corporations pay their fair share, including a split role for property taxes. We need to create an oil severance tax like Alaska and Texas have for oil production. And we need to support Prop 19 to legalize and tax marijuana. We need to eliminate the requirement for a two-thirds vote of the legislature to enact or raise a tax so that the legislature is free to pursue tax increases when we need them for our services. And we need to support Prop 25 to approve the budget with a majority vote. And, of course, as I think our previous speakers have said, we need to close those corporate tax loopholes. Yeah. Next, we have our environmental stewardship issues. I see that ecologicalism and nonviolence are really interrelated. In California, we really have the thrilling opportunity to be at the forefront of a resilient green economy by transitioning to sustainable jobs and, among other things, clean industries like that of alternative energy. And defunding U.S. wars and redirecting that money for this purpose would provide economic stimulus for that support, for that effort. We also need to ensure compliance with AB 32, so no on Prop 23. Okay, we've got to keep the out-of-state oil corporations from writing our ballot initiatives for us. We need to keep our state parks open. That'll spur the economy. For every dollar spent by the state on state parks, $235 is generated in tax revenue. Also, the studies show $58. People will spend $58 on local businesses when they visit a state park. I'll support SB 810, which will also help our economy by reducing health care costs. And lastly, I will work to bring more to light the issue of human trafficking. There are more slaves now than at any other time in human history, 27 million worldwide. And many of the human beings that are trafficked come through Southern California. So that is an issue that is very near and dear to my heart as well. We need to shine a light on that and enact stricter enforcement and increased awareness to stem this tide of human trafficking. Thank you all for your time and your attention. I think I'm going to go ahead and share this now. I think Linda maybe created a great tagline for the Green Party for the whole state here, and it's Revolution of Solutions. That's Linda. Love it. Okay, next up we have Jane Rands running for Assembly District number 72.
Wow, after hearing Linda and Lisa speak, I can't wait to be serving in the State Assembly with them. All right. Everything they said, I'm all for. I'm taking kind of a different approach on talking about those same things, and that is the things we're advocating for are really nothing new. In fact, over the years, you've watched Green Party values come into place. It just takes so long when you try to get the Republicans and the Democrats to do it. If we're in there, it just happens because we're dedicated to it. We don't have to hem and haw about, well, if I do this one socially responsible legislation, then this donor may not support me the next time I'm up for re-election. So that goes to the aspect of campaign finance reform, which we already have in our party because we've already committed to not taking contributions from corporations or from unions or from PACs. So we already have our own clean money campaign. It's voluntary. It doesn't have to be legislated because we have values. Another same old that we're still working on, and that is single payer. It's still out there. It's went from 840 twice. Now it's 810, and the gubernator will be gone soon. And when Laura Wells is in office, it will finally get signed into legislation. And then, the local water policies that are sort of being discussed. The governor realized that he made a little mistake with his pork-filled water solution. What I advocate for is water policies that are locally based. It's good old sustainable local economics and environmental policies, and that is you use what you have available in your local area. I live here in Orange County. Orange County and Los Angeles really wouldn't have ever developed if there wasn't water stolen from other parts of our state that have really been devastated by our way of life. And it's time we have the ability to change our way of life. And at the state level, it would make sense to have the state water policy say, you locally, this is what you have. These are your resources. You live within your means, your water means. Because I could see a lot of changes here where I live that are affecting a lot of you where you live, where we're stealing your water and we're squandering it on our lawn. Drive by my house while you're here visiting. I'm down Wilshire Avenue. You can see my nice dirt patch. It's good for bees. We'll soon be planting it this fall with Orange County natives. We're going through our grow and kill process. Ask me how to kill your lawn. I will be more than happy to talk to you about it. Another same old is marriage equality. That's something that the Green Party has clearly stood for all along. The great thing is the younger generations understand that everybody has equal rights. It's sort of out of the hands of us as state legislatures, but I still keep pushing for it. Whatever we can do, if there's the opportunity, that's something that's still coming in the future. Another same old is renewable energy. Solar has been available since, the 70s? There's discussion now about the solar panels being possibly restored to the White House. That was back during the Carter administration. I believe that was in 76. I was in elementary school. I just put solar on my home, and I would think that would be a standard everywhere. And things that we can do at the state legislature to keep that going is continue the rebates that are available to help people finance that, because it benefits everybody in the state when we don't have to subsidize costly new power generation sources or polluting sources of energy. So in closing, I'm very grateful for this party. I'm one of those people who started out as a Democrat, and that was being rebellious for me. I came from a family of Republicans, and I never even considered being a Republican. And then, believe it or not, I went to the Libertarian Party because I was all for civil liberties. And then I found out all they cared about was they didn't want to pay taxes. So the thing I like about the Green Party is we're not so fond on paying. We'll be willing to pay our fair share, but we want our money to be used for the benefit of us, all of us, the people. Thank you.
Another tagline, kill your lawns. I love it. Kill all the lawns. All right. Coming up next, we have Mr. Dwayne Roberts running for U.S. Senate. Dwayne.
Well, welcome to Orange County, hotbed of Minutemen activity, the Tea Party, and even the Ku Klux Klan. The district that you are here in right now, boo, I do agree. The district you are in right here now, we just recently elected a supervisor who calls himself the grandfather of the Tea Party movement, among other things. So you can kind of understand the political environment that we work in down here, although things are changing, nevertheless, for the good, not the bad. A little bit about myself. I have a Bachelor of Arts degree in criminology law and society from the University of California, Irvine. I'm a former newspaper publisher. I published a publication called The Orange Coast Voice, very progressive. Unfortunately, downturn in the economy caused some problems, so I'm no longer a publisher, but it's still online. Nevertheless, I'm a longtime community activist, involved in issues ranging from affordable housing, immigrant rights, fighting police brutality, big issue down here, by the way, and across the state, among other things, and holding public officials accountable for their actions. I I've scared the heck out of a lot of politicians down here, Democrat and Republican, so, and some of them are no longer politicians because of me. I've been running a campaign that's been emphasized on primarily four issues up to this point. In no particular order, I will explain those issues. One, repealing all federal laws which prohibit people from using marijuana for recreational, medicinal, and industrial purposes. I got a lot of support from people in the local hemp community. In fact, they liked me so much, they printed my name in advertisements in marijuana publications up and down the entire state, along with my name with the prominent legalization proponent, Judge James Gray. So that's, you know, they really respect me a lot. The other issue that I have been campaigning on, driving the private health insurance industry out of business and replacing it with a single-payer Medicare for all type health care system in this country. I believe health care is a human right and not a commodity to be sold at a profit. I also favor immediately withdrawing all U.S. troops from Iraq and Afghanistan. I don't believe in a timetable. I don't think we should dance around and say, oh, maybe 10 months from now, 16, 20. Now. Now is the time we need to get up. And what we need to do is take that money that we waste on these bloody colonial wars and use it to ensure that every academically qualified student in this country receives a free public education at a college, university, or technical trade school of their choosing. I think public education needs to be free from preschool to university level and beyond. If people want to continue education into their late 70s and 80s, it should be free. Period. The other issue I've been dealing with is I oppose nuclear power. I am in favor of solar power and other sources of clean and renewable energy. Much safer, among other things. Very quickly, since I only have a minute left, I am in favor of other issues too. Sorry. I'm in favor of same-sex marriage and important immigrant rights. That's an issue I'm going to be harping on very soon. Look at the Democrats and Republicans. They're Boxer, very strong proponent of militarizing the U.S.-Mexico border. And, you know, people don't talk about the Democratic Party as much as they do about the Republicans. They talk about immigrant bashing. But, you know, the Democrats are just as bad as Republicans. Look at, you know, everybody knows who Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio is. Oh, by the way, came to Orange County a couple days to do a fundraiser for a sheriff's candidate, which fortunately lost the election here. Okay? Very quickly, guess who gave Sheriff Joe Arpaio the power to enforce federal immigration laws? And I'm going to end right here. Democratic Governor Janet Napolitano. So, anyway, I'm told that I have to close up here. Thank you very much. I have several thousand of these little pieces of literature. If you want to take them and hand them out, just promise to give them all away before the election. And thank you very much for your time. Tell people to vote Dwayne Roberts for the United States Senate.
Got some fire going here. Okay. To close our candidates forum, I would like to introduce the Green Party candidate for governor, Laura Wells. Thank you.
My name is Laura Wells, and I'm running as the first green governor of California. Yeah. There's going to be a debate pretty soon on October 12th in San Rafael, just north of San Francisco. They're calling it the green debate. The one thing they forgot? The green candidate. Yeah. So first I have a couple of things that I want to say about the leaflets, the sack of leaflets over there. For sure, if you're not coming back tomorrow, take some leaflets today. Good places to pass them out are unions, union meetings, other kinds of meetings, rallies, tabling, your friends and coworkers and neighbors and things like that. On one side, we talk about the state bank, which only makes sense, where we can invest in California, not Wall Street. And that's one thing that people agree with across the political spectrum and across the country, is that the Supreme Court got it wrong. And as was said already, we're already modeling clean elections without corporate campaign contributions. So state bank, invest in our students, invest in ourselves. And on that on the same side of the sheet, on the leaflet, is Prop 13. I love to talk about Prop 13. And so do the other candidates and the governor. On my leaflet, you'll see that Governor Schwarzenegger said, when Warren Buffett was his campaign advisor in 2003, Warren Buffett thought, you want to make a big difference in California, either dump or seriously change Prop 13. And Arnold Schwarzenegger, if I can do it, said, you talk about Prop 13 one more time, you have to do 500 sit-ups. So that's how brave our action hero is. And then we have our billionaire candidate, and she says, I will protect your Prop 13. And I think she should say, I will protect my Prop 13. Because that is who's benefiting. Forget my verbs. But it's the mega corporations and the billionaires, both on flattening the property tax and on that really insidious thing, that two-thirds to raise taxes while they kept a simple majority to lower taxes. That is what has sunk our schools, it's sunk our economy, it's sunk everything. The two-thirds for the budget is a separate two-thirds. That's been in place since 1933. So our brave Democratic Party is willing to solve that problem that's not a problem and put a proposition on the ballot. We're in favor of it as a Green Party. I'm not personally, but I may vote for it. But it's not the problem. 1933 was two-thirds for a budget. The golden years of California with free tuition and stuff like that happened after that. It's the two-thirds to raise taxes that came in with Prop 13 that has hurt ourselves and our next generations and helped very, very few people. But people have been thinking that it has helped them. And so to try to turn that around is a big effort. And so that's, you know, what we're trying to do. But, you know, I sent it a Valentine in February, but it's a case of Prop 13, I love you, but honey, you got to change. Now, the first leaflet that I had that some of you may have had State Bank on one side and Prop 13 on the other. This one, I put that on one side. So that on the other side, I have people's movement, building momentum. And I love Linda's encapsulation of what we're doing. It's a revolution of solutions. And so the thing that I'd like to talk about more than ever, and I'm going to look absolutely every single person in the eye, and that is a little slogan, another little slogan. Let's see, win with green by 2014. And so that means that everybody here, I can actually see the fact that everybody here could run as a candidate. We need to start running. I personally am going to run until we win. I started saying that in 2006. I would say that in public meetings and things like that. I said, I may run until we win. And everybody would laugh, you know, like everybody's laughing right now. But you know what? We're going to get to where they won't be laughing. Because... And what I'm really feeling, both at, you know, last week at the rally in the valley in San Fernando Valley, and all this year, and this year particularly, I mean, we've got four mics in the room. Would the mics please stand up? I mean, plus this one. You know, Mike. And plus, you know, we have this microphone right here. So Mike. Okay. So the mics are getting it together, you know, which I mentioned before. They're agreeing, sitting next to each other in a very nice way. And there's lots of nice ways. But and the Green Party is getting it together. It's like what I said about the U.S. Social Forum in Detroit, where the slogans were another, and I'm going to borrow something from Michael Borenstein here, but the World Social Forum is Another World is Possible. The U.S. Social Forum, and there have been two of them, one in Atlanta 3 years ago and the one in Detroit just this past June, where the Green Party had its meeting at the same time, which was brilliant. And that is Another U.S. is Necessary. Now, in Detroit, which is where I went to college, they added the slogan, Another Detroit is Necessary. So it's happening. Thank you. You all listened, like, really beautifully. and so the slogan for the Green Party is Another Green Party is happening. And so... And yet it's the same Green Party we've had for decades. And I registered in 1992 and haven't looked back since. So I would thank you all for gathering the signatures. I registered like in January right after that happened. But we've got the values. We already know that corporations aren't persons. We don't take money from them. We know that not only do we have these each individual values and we can list each one of them, but we know that they go together. We know that the problems have all caused problems in each one of those areas, and we know that the solutions all work together. So I'm just going to close by saying it's a revolution of solutions.
All right, I think Sandy, did you want to come up? Sandy has a little something to share. And once we're done with that, we're going to go into a strategy session, basically, which is some rapport between our candidates and the floor here. How can we help our candidates? What can we do from now into November to support them? What should we be focusing on? So these are just things that's kind of open to, you know, bring to the candidates, ask them questions, offer them comments, offer them some suggestions. So it's just kind of a brainstorming session here, but really let's set up some particular action plans, because talk is nice, talk is important, doing is very important. So with that, Sandy, come on up.
As a member of the host committee, I can say we're really thrilled to have all these great candidates here in Fullerton. But one might ask the question, who would be crazy enough to be a Green Party candidate? Why would one subject oneself to so many insults, to so many indignities, to work so hard for such little gain? And I throw that out there with all these fine candidates. They're doing this because they care. They care about the values of the Green Party, but they also care about all the people they want to persuade to become Greens and support those values. That being said, I want to recognize two political people here. The first is our front runner. I'd like to present Laura Wells with the first annual Green Party Geek Award. And I think Laura's just going to hold on to this because she is not going to stop until she wins. Secondly, although she's not a candidate today, she did travel all the way from Pennsylvania to be with us. I'd like to recognize former 2004 Green Party vice presidential running mate, Pat LaMarche. Pat, as you know, exemplifies green values both at a local level. She's a journalist. She's a twice-run candidate for governor of the state of Maine. As I mentioned, she's a vice presidential candidate. And she also, in her day-to-day work, is director of one of the largest homeless shelters in the state of Pennsylvania. I would like to present her with a small award, Peter Camejo's autobiography. Since at a certain point in her career, she and Peter knew each other quite well. I've noted all the important passages. But again, thank you. Thank you to all the candidates.
Okay, so we're just kind of at a point now where it's open to the floor if anyone has any particular questions or comments for the candidates or for a particular candidate. I guess what we could do is just hand the mic around. So let me see, raise your hand if you have a question. Okay, let's just take the mic around. Let's just do that.
Los Angeles. This isn't really a question. This is kind of a suggestion or a comment. You know, some of our, like in Los Angeles County, we have the West Side Greens and the Venice Greens and the Arroyo Greens out in the Pasadena area, San Fernando Valley Greens. And one thing, I don't know how each chapter handles it, but I think it's very important to support what Barry was saying about not only each green reaching out to someone else to share our values and to get them registered, but for each local and for our county councils to have a voter registration program in place that is operating 52 weeks a year. Those farmers markets, you can get, like I get permission, I don't even pay rent for the little space that I have because I'm in kind of a little out-of-the-way corner of the market and I work out a deal where I trade something off with the lady who runs the market so that I can be there every Sunday morning. And that's when I'm not going to be here tomorrow because I made this commitment. But I usually, in a five-hour session of being there, I usually average about 3 new green registrations per week. Now, it doesn't sound like a lot, but times 52 weeks a year and you're committed to it, that's over 150 greens in my local district. You see what I'm saying? So this idea of tabling, and also when you're tabling to register voters, you can also have, like, I already have this card on my table that talks about the budget. A lot of people comment on this and relate to that. I'm now going to have a T-shirt because I bought one here today that I'll be wearing that reinforces that. And now that I have Laura's literature and I also have envelopes for her, I'm going to be telling people, write out a check. Put it in the envelope. Let's get that mailed right now. Here's a stamp. Because I bring stamps with me, and the post office is right across the street. So I think it's really important that we really make a commitment to tabling voter registration We've got to fulfill, if you're working in a group where the bylaws say that this is part of your obligation or requirement to be assembled greens, then I urge you to live up to that requirement and to do that. Because I don't see that happening in a consistent level throughout Los Angeles County. And we need to get, in our county in particular, I'm not speaking for Alameda, has like, what, over 3%, 4% registered greens. Sonoma is at a similar percentage. In Los Angeles County, we're less than 1% registered greens. And in our county, we, with our mentality in Los Angeles County, we should be at 5%, not 0.5%. So we have to fix these problems that we have in our county by fulfilling our requirements to get out there, to register, to communicate. Yes, to fundraise, but the communication and the voter registration, I think, is something that we're missing our opportunity here. And it has to be present in every Green's mind constantly, and also to support what Laura said at the end of her speech about everyone running. Remember, in Los Angeles County, we have this neighborhood council system. It is a mechanism, a perfect mechanism for grassroots democracy. We need to get Greens on every single one of the 90 neighborhood councils. The Greens who excel and learn the process of how to research in committee, how to bring a motion forward, how to persuade the board to get it passed, how to bring that motion forward to the city council downtown. The ones who learn this process and excel at it, those are the candidates for us in the next election cycle. We have an opportunity to groom them and to give them a professional experience on their resume as elected city officials in the city of Los Angeles. So those are two things. Register, 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 table, get a regular tabling thing going on with your local chapter or your county that someone is manning that table at least once a week. Commit to that. And in Los Angeles County, my county, we need to commit to getting people our greens on these neighborhood councils. I suggest we take them over completely. Thank you.
Oh, you are? Okay, I saw another hand over here. I don't know whose it was, though. Should we just come up and do a stack? Okay. Do we want to just put the stack on the stand? It's fine. Okay.
I have a question for the candidates. And for the for campaigns and candidates, and for candidates that aren't here today. Will you consider running again back to back? Not here today, I'd like to introduce Ben Emery, running for 4th Congressional District, which is basically the outskirts of Sacramento, El Dorado, up to the east side of California, to the Oregon border. Totally conservative area. Sometimes if you say you're a Green, you're already not getting people's ears. But what Ben has done is he's built his own campaign from scratch. We don't have a lot of big organizations up there. He refused money from the state Green Party because his motto is, I'm running for the people, not for the party, which is a swipe at our Republican. We don't have Democrats up there, which is a swipe at the Republican people that lead. But where he's being successful, and I ask the candidates to consider this, if Prop 14, and Mike and I were just talking, what is it, 50-50, whether it goes out before the election in 212, 50-50 if it goes out after that. But with Prop 14 in place, we have a whole other dynamic next time, and the whole election cycle is going to be moved up by 1 year in this state. If you can run next time back-to-back, you've already got your feet on the ground, and many of you candidates know a lot better what people like me don't know, and that is, how do you muster and build this campaign? Yeah, Mike helps, I help. Some of us have done what we can, but you folks have realized what it's like for the campaign fundraising, for the media attention. If you can't run again, how many people could you help run on something in your district? My little fantasy, as far as electoral strategy goes, would be of the 435 plus water boards in this state, if the Green Party aspired to get one person on each board, you would have one Water boards are interesting. They're more intellectually oriented than some of our other politicians. All due respect, folks. You'd have, even if you only got, 435, that's a very big number. So 40, 50 folks. What a crew of greens. What a working group, 50 greens, that are actually on water boards making the most important policy decisions in my mind that the state has to make, and readying themselves for runs at state assembly, Congress, et cetera, or school boards. You folks that are running really know what it takes, where some of us that are just party hacks or party wonks or just hard workers don't know. You could really help other folks. I mean, God, wouldn't it be great in your districts in Los Angeles or Mendocino or out on the east side by Lake Tahoe where I am, if you actually had three or five folks on little boards or big boards. You know, don't hold yourself back. Anyway, that's sort of my rhetorical open-ended question to you.
So I want to share a little bit about what we did in L.A. County, because you may notice that there's four state assembly candidates in the whole state party. They're all four from L.A. County. We started, we had a March 2009 countywide strategy session where we talked about what kind of strategy we wanted to do. We came to general agreement that we wanted to focus on the assembly. We tried to identify people who would run. We have four now. At one point, I think we thought we'd have as many as eight. No, we have four. Jane is in Orange County. So we thought we'd get as far as eight, and there were some strategic mistakes, I think, that prevented us from getting as many as we should have had. We'll learn from that. Part of what we did at that strategy session is we did what we did here today, but we went a little bit further, and in retrospect, I would have liked to have seen us done this today, and I'll do a little bit of it here, is that everybody who was a candidate got up and spoke, and then we critiqued their stump speech. We had about 35, 40 of us there in the room, and we critiqued how they did, and it helped improve how they did. Now, some of those little things that I got up about saying, like, you don't say, oh, I'm running out of time. It shows weakness. You don't do that when you're speaking. There's a million small things like that. Now, even our unbelievable gubernatorial candidate, when Laura spoke, I would like to have seen you do your solutions is the revolution first, and I love Prop 13, but you got to change first. Those kind of things are folksy things that draw people in who aren't political wonks. Then you can do the stuff afterwards rather than working up from the policy up to that cool conclusion. So we did that. When Dwayne gave his comments, when people were clapping, you started talking before people were clapping, and they missed your first 10 words. When we're on YouTube, they're not going to hear you now, because you didn't wait. Just that little. There's a lot of little small things that we could be doing that way and critiquing. And I would have loved to have seen us now overhead the talks that we just heard, sat there and had everybody feel in a room of comfort where they weren't getting trashed. It was all supportive people to watch the thing, stop the tape, make a comment on et cetera. Somebody who spoke about we don't take donations in the beginning, they meant to say we don't take corporate donations. They just said we don't take donations. You can't do that. All right. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff like that. And strategically as a party, I think we need to be starting to look at our state meetings, and especially not necessarily the business meetings, but we've had a tradition in the past of having an annual gathering that isn't a business meeting. That kind of event and doing this sort of training would help us enormously. So just want to throw that out to all of you. Start thinking earlier where you want to run. I personally been an advocate of the state assembly strategy on a common platform, and I think we need to think about that again in 2012. Common graphics on our websites, on our lawn signs, that sort of stuff could be done easily, cost sharing, and so thinking about plenaries, other meetings, I think we should try and shape how we do our time a little bit more in that manner.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to get used to the idea of being in front of cameras. Let's start getting used to that and what that looks like and what we need to do. And what I wanted to ask the candidates, does every candidate here have downloadable pamphlets off of your website? Okay. Jack does. Does anyone else? Okay. I'm not grilling, Barry. I'm asking questions. No, this is important stuff. Point that if I want to support my state candidates in Ventura, you know, and I don't happen to pick up stuff that you have here, I can download it from your website, and that's how I can support you if I'm out there tabling. And contact information, okay? No donate button? So my question basically, and we don't have to do it now necessarily, we do have our Campaigns and Candidates Working Group teleconference. I would like to hear from candidates what you need, other than the obvious, you know, money and volunteers. But are there technical issues? Do you need help with website stuff? You know, phone banking help, things like that. So that's what I would really like, to have some back and forth, not us just telling you what we think you should do, but you tell us what you need and what you would like us to help you with as well. The gender balance. Casey, did you want to come up? I'm sorry, because she was like, yeah. Guys, thanks for the patience.
My question is, in the last 54 days before, I think, the big election date, November 4th, what are you all doing together to, A, get into the debate or fight about getting into debate, B, get media attention, and three, create the momentum to start pushing for the next election?
Casey, could you outline your number three again? First, debates. How am I getting a debate? Well, the media is helping me by the San Jose Mercury News writing a piece on my opponent. It works harder than most, and I mentioned it in my remarks before, is only beholden to corporate interests. And that's why we don't have a society. That's why we're so disconnected from each other in a really interconnected biosphere that we have. What were the other two? Media. Well, I included the media because the media... I go door to door. I'll tell you what I'm doing 3 weeks before the election. I'm going door to door. And every candidate should do that, so it's kind of hard to get together the last 3 weeks.
Well, I think the state website has something, right? The state website should have candidates listed on the state website. Right. And all our websites should be linked, interlinked together, and feed back and forth. That's true. Things I can point out. Granted, we're not finished with the election cycle, so I'll do something at the end as well. I would like to see next year if we can move up the money distributions, the contributions earlier, because it's September now, so this is kind of late in my opinion. If we can push this up before the primaries or right around the primary, maybe after the primary, apologize, right after the primary, probably the best time. To get debate, it's challenging when you're not one of the top two parties right now. I was in a wonderful district. Well, I got this ability, so I got introduced to a lot of debates. After the primary, I may be in the League of Women Voters. Anything I'm asked for, I go to. Even I went to an LAX Chamber of Commerce where I said everything environmentally sustainable and told them not to expand LAX, not to ruin the wetlands, not to, and I said everything right there in front of them, because it's good practice to go into those environments and stand for our rights and stand against corporations and the bankers. One thing I'll commit to is I will try to identify at least one person, now that I've been through this, that I think would be great to be recruited. And within mind, I will assess their skills, their willfulness, because you have to have a strong backbone to be able to do this, and also their passion and their commitment. You know, if you have small children, you're like, not might be able to do this right now. But I will assess this and at least offer one, and I ask the other candidates, if you can, try to identify. I'd also like to throw out Let's get the state women's caucus back up, and let's build a women's caucus again, and let's do this, because we can work together to groom. We need more women in office, gender balance, and I don't want to monopolize. Thank you.
Michael Rubin, Alameda County. I just want to start with what Mike Q said. I really appreciated his comments. I think that what we should be looking for is more synergy between our candidates, more synergy between our campaigns for candidates and building the party. And I think that that's going to require a fair amount of brainstorming. I'm sure that there are a lot of ideas that we could think about that would magnify our efforts. Because we're doing certain things, we might as well do them better and with more effect. If we can figure out ways to magnify our efforts without actually magnifying the work. And I think that there are ways to do that. And the last thing I want to say is that I believe that we should be using our campaigns to expand the party in a different way. That is, there are a lot of areas in which our party does not exist. That is, there are counties where we have no green organization. We should be thinking about ways to use our campaigns to recruit people to begin building Green Party organizations in places, counties, cities, districts where they do not exist. And I believe that that can be done with some thought. Thanks.
Steele, Michael, the answer is to, and I'm guilty of it, is not going on other candidates' website. Instead of instantly having a link together, you ought to know what's there and what works and what doesn't work. I know that I've had a website that started out as World Green News because I was into news aggregates and I was bringing all kinds of keywords together to try to get a feeling for what's going on with Cruden, Adrian Cruden, and the member of the British Parliament. Okay. So Adrian and I share on Facebook. I think that's another big thing that's going on. It works well for others and some not for others. So steal from each, well, in a friendly way, but kind of get to know each other first. What works? You got to know what works.
Okay. Oh. Hi, I'm Lisa Taylor. I'm from I'm from Los Angeles County, and I was Linda's campaign manager in 2008. When she ran for city council in Santa Monica, and I am this time. And actually, I told her, it's not really a good thing, but it's easier to run for assembly, actually, because there's not, for city council, she had 10 forums that we went to. There was something you could do almost every day, and then, you know, which was great. But now, assembly, what we're running into is, to answer your question, on League of Women Voters, we know the guy who was the president. We know the guy who was the president of the League of Women Voters, and I asked him on Linda's Facebook when the debate is, and he said, well, you know, the League, when there's an incumbent who may not run in the, you know, be in the debate, and then if we have, they don't look askance at, you know, two, what did she call it, empty chair debates. But it's like there is a Republican running, and there's Linda. So if those two people in there, that's two out of three. That's not empty chair. So anyway, we're finding that the League, I was strategizing with Laura before, that the League is very lame on this stuff, and that might be the only debate that's in the district. So if you have any ideas of, you know, what we can do to work on them, I think it's just, you know, getting them to, you know, do a debate. But I don't know how we can force that issue. And if there's not a debate, she's writing op-ed. She's, you know, doing what she can. But to cover a district of two counties with 500,000 voters, I mean, residents, when you don't, you know, you can't afford to do mailers, it's very difficult to reach these people. So, anyway.
The League in Santa Monica did an empty chair debate for a community college 2 years ago. So they, it's BS. I want to follow up on KCM's and look at Laura's temporary exclusion from the Green debate, and hopefully we get her in. How many of you received the email from Arnie Glickman during the No on Prop 14 campaign that you could turn around and use to publish a letter with? A few of you? Okay, a bunch of you did that. All right, kick butt, okay? So right now what's happened is that the Marin County Greens have sent a letter to that college, Dominican College, okay, asking for her to be included, asking for a place for us to protest, et cetera, et cetera. After they blow us off, you know, God forbid, after they blow us off, then the question becomes, okay, what do we do? How do we make this issue more public? If Laura pins a, and I don't know if Laura's the right person, maybe she is, but maybe they won't let you be published widely because it's the candidate, but maybe you're the right person. If not, maybe the party does, but whoever. If we pin a really solid op-ed that deals with debate exclusion, why it's anti-Californian, anti-American, bad for democracy, yada, yada, yada. Okay, we do all the right arguments on all of that. We try and get that printed, number one, but two, all the small community papers around the state that are living to get some sort of content, et cetera, the two pieces here. One, simply strategically choosing to do that sort of thing and getting out that sample sort of letter to all of our locals, having the thing that Marnie had there so that we could use that and get that published. We could build a consciousness about debate exclusion. Essentially, we have a 3 to 4 week dynamic here to make that happen. Second, in terms of, and there's no blame for anybody individually, but pointing out the insufficiency of our state infrastructure, the fact that we still don't have a single database that is kept up to date with input from the counties so we can have the best up-to-date email list. That email list would then be the place that this email, using the Marnie technology to send the letters to your local paper, so we could probably come up with about 8,000 good email addresses statewide, given how many are bad, but still, that would be a wonderful tool for our party to do, and we could still do that between now and then. So this is a thing where we could really pull together in the next month, make a big consciousness statewide.
I think we need a statewide protest. And I think it needs to be October 12th. I believe we should invade San Rafael from the entire state of California around this insult. I think today, one of the things we need to do, and tomorrow as well, is plan that assault. It could be done if that's the kind of party you want to do, if that's the kind of party you want to be like. Or we could ignore the whole situation and let Laura fight this on her own. I mean, there's no way in Hades we should allow this opportunity to pass us by. The people in this room, the few people in this room, could have probably 800 or 900 or 1,000 people in San Rafael if we take the entire month to plan for it and make it happen. And you're talking about building the Green Party. That's what builds the Green Party. I'm prepared, you know, to get in Sandy's car with his gas and his gas money in it. And try to organize people from San Diego all the way up and down this coast to be in San Rafael by October 12th. But it takes planning, it takes anger, and it takes a commitment to struggle to make sure that this type of thing happens. Pat LaMarche is going to meet us this coming Monday in Skid Row. She's going to meet us there at 1 o'clock to play chess with our homeless buddy. She's coming in as a chess player. She's not coming in as a bureaucrat. As far as they're concerned, she's just another homeless lady coming there to either get beat or beat one of my homies in chess. I'm inviting any one of you to join with Pat that day, and it's going to be Monday at 1 o'clock in Skid Row. Please talk to Sandy or Pat or myself about the location, telephone number, but don't, again, allow this opportunity with her being in our town. She's going to get a wonderful tour of Skid Row, but I would like for you also to be part of that tour in terms of where we have been and where we've got to go.
So I'm hearing three really amazing ideas, which are specifically action plans. And, well, one of them, Mike Feinstein, the video question for you. How quickly can we get that edited, polished up, put on our state website, and linked to every candidate's website? Is that... Okay. Okay, so this is brilliant, because what I'm learning is that video, any video, is absolutely paramount in organizing. It is what people are looking at. It is what you can get to the most people in the quickest amount of time using video. We just did an amazing one today. So we've got that as a tool. Facebook, you know, every single kind of social network that takes video, boom, we've got that. Letters to the editor, brilliant. We've got that. Two ways where we can, you know, get in front of the most people with the least amount of heavy sweating. And thirdly, descending on San Rafael. So it's also people power. And we get a press conference and we're, you know, we get the press there. So I'm just recapping basically what's already said as an affirmation. If we do those three things and we concentrate on those three things, not to discount anything else that comes up, but those three, we're hitting the majors between now and November. And I think it's brilliant. Plus tabling always and registering new voters. Absolutely. So I love those three, and I commit to really, you know, jumping in with our candidates, with our working group. Let's make that happen. Those three things I think are marvelous.
Hi, Matt Leslie, Orange County, and I wanted to just share a quick anecdote that relates to something that Deacon said about basically showing up when you haven't been invited someplace. As you may know, Jane Rams originally ran for the same office she's running for now when that seat opened up after the embarrassing, our previous state assemblyman had to resign because he said some really embarrassing things into a microphone, and it was just an ugly story. Anyway, it opened up a seat unexpectedly. And it's something that wasn't known a whole lot across the state because a special election had to be held. It was very expensive. And so what happened very early on in that campaign was because it was there was at first a primary and then a, you know, the final election and such, or a runoff, as it were, I guess. There were many, many candidates who ran. And, of course, there were a whole bunch of Republicans who ran for the office initially. And in the city of Orange, there was actually a little forum, you know, / debate that was held by a private Republican group so that they could figure out who they were going to back in the election. And then, of course, it turned out to be, you know, later on it went out to be a Democrat, a Green, and Republican in the later election. But initially there was this first part where they had this event to figure out who they were going to back. And we read about it in the newspaper, and we read, oh, there's this debate, and they didn't invite Jane. And we realized, oh, it's a Republican group, and we're not really invited, but we showed up anyway. And we thought, well, let's just go check them out. And it's hard to see this on my iPhone, sorry. This is a picture of Jane Rams, and this is a screen cap from KCAL News that goes all the way across Southern California. And underneath her name, underneath her picture, it says Jane Rams, Green Party candidate. She made it on KCAL News because we went there and essentially just kind of shoved our way in when the news cameraman was there and the reporter and such. They're interviewing people as they walk up, and we said, you know, we got the Green Party candidate. We got a Green Party candidate. You want to talk to her? And he kind of said, no, get out of my face, but he didn't. And he took her back and interviewed her, and we thought, we don't know what's going to happen, but she got on the news. So the idea of going someplace where you're not invited, you know, I think it's a good one. I support that. So.
Hi, Dwayne Roberts. Anyway, I've got two things I'll be very quick to try to address. First issue is I think people should do their best to try maximum use of the Internet. We still live in this era where we think somehow that the mainstream media is to tell us what we think about. Well, we do have this alternative. If everybody in here has 100 friends or has an access to a listserv where there's 500 people, you could easily magnify our reach manyfold. Some of the messages I'm sending out and will be sending out for the campaign will reach 100,000 people up and down the state. I post everywhere from Craigslist to in the media sites to listservs to whatnot. Okay? You know, if I had to do that 20 years ago, how much would it have cost me? It only cost me a $30 internet connection. What you don't know is when you send this stuff out is how many people send it out to 500 of their friends. Or 100 of their friends. It only takes one or two. I'll give you an example, although I'm not saying this is going to happen in my campaign, although I'm relying on the internet quite a bit. Back in 2005, I had a squabble with a local police department. They didn't respect the civil liberties of some immigrant rights protesters. They raided a house allegedly to find a flashlight that a policeman allegedly dropped at a demonstration. They wanted their police flashlight back. So they raided a person's house. It was really nonsensical. Well, knowing how well I use the internet, I decided to send out, I wrote an article about it, sent out over the internet. And for some strange reason, people got really pissed off at it and sent it to their friends and sent it to their friends. So what I began to realize is that this message reached about probably 3 or 4 million people within a neighborhood of 3 or 4 days. In fact, the police department was kind of pissed off at me because they were getting phone calls nonstop, and for about 2 weeks from people all over the United States criticizing their action. Plus, in addition, that city council was getting messages from places like North Carolina that they should disband their police department. So that's why the local politicians don't mess with me around here, because they know that, you know, they may suffer a similar fate. Let me get off the internet for a second and talk to you about, as you know, Boxer and Fiorina are going to have another Punch and Judy show. I learned last night that it's going to be a radio debate that is sponsored by Law Opinion and KPCC. If anybody knows, KPCC is a public radio station. Okay? I'm going to start looking at the bylaws of the public radio station, and if anybody wants to help me, please do, because I think they have some rural taxpayers in here, and they receive funding, and I may contact the Board of Trustees and ask them at least in some ways, I don't really want to be involved in their Punch and Judy show, but if I can have at least the same amount of time to be on their radio station. See, some of these colleges, and although I understand that KBC and CBS and all the rest of the they're technically supposed to be serving the public and public interest. They can clear rats at that because nobody controls it. But little public radio stations are more vulnerable, all right? And especially if they're controlled by a community college system. It's not. But compared to CBS and ABC and NBC, yes. It broadcasts across California. So if anybody wants to help in respect to seeing, maybe we can convince them in a nice way that they should open up their broadcast other than candidates like Barbara Boxer and Purina, who are just basically going to spend about all their time throwing mud at each other. So anyway, I'm going to close right here.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to follow up on a couple of things that I think would help each and every one of you run as candidates. And one of the things is something that's really fun, actually, and it gets you more and more comfortable speaking in public, and you get to make a lot of friends, and it's sort of a mainstreamish kind of thing that's been around for a long, long time, and Sanda just guessed it. Toastmasters. Yeah, Toastmasters, great. Yeah, and it's where you get feedback. Part of it is it's like a member teach member. It's very decentralized. It's low cost, all of that kind of thing. And you really get to know the people that are there. They get to know you. You get to try out your Green Party values, which I believe are California values, and they are American values. We're not weird, and we're special in many ways, but we're not special in the fact that we are the only ones that that have these values. But anyway, so Toastmasters. How many people who have never done it might consider doing it? Okay, terrific. Terrific. Yeah. And it's fun. It's nice. It's really cool. And the other thing is I love. Yeah, you got to be quiet for this. I love the idea of gatherings where we have Green Party gatherings. If we had one every year, I know Mike Feinstein brought that up today. If we had that, that's where we can learn how to table, how to run, how to, you know, do local effective events, you know, take control of our power supply, whatever. There are all sorts of things. I mean, what is the one in Ventura? How long ago was that? 7 years, unfortunately. They even had ones on anarchy, you know, which I thought was great. And so gatherings, yes, let's try to have gatherings. We could have them statewide. It is fun. It's a huge state. And it's fun because it's so much fun to see everybody. And we do have California in common. But I suppose even regional ones would be good. But I think, you know, like the one that they had in Southern California, and look what they got, all these candidates running for assembly. And the other thing is, oh, yeah, so speaking of the Internet, we're going to do, my daughter is 26 now. She was 8 when I joined the Green Party. Now she's 26. And she graduated as a film major at UC Santa Cruz, and one of her classmates also went to Stanford and got a master's in film. And so they're doing what we're calling a preemptive debate video. And so what we're going to do is they've pulled clips of Meg Whitman and clips of Jerry Brown, and then doing video clips of me on the same issues, and we're going to split that up. And so one of the things they promised me, they'll have it done by the end of September. So one of the things that will work into this assault on San Rafael and the Dominican University's assault on the Green Party is one of the things that we can do is we can have that be a part of that. But I mean, I just, Deacon is a beacon. You know, I want, I love that vision of just like, you know, to have San Rafael and the Dominican University not know what hit them, actually know what hit them, and it's green hit them.
Richard Gomez, Fresno County. There are many things that we do. Oh, thank you very much. Yes. There are many things we can do. Some of them are just small, like buttons. Larry Mullins made a whole bunch of buttons with Laura Wells out there. Get a chance, you'll be able to take a look at them. He asked for a little, you know, contribution, you know, something like a quarter or a dollar, something to keep his mind going a little bit, not going crazy. Now, there also is another debate just about a week or so before the one in San Rafael. Guess what? It's in Fresno on Gandhi's birthday, October 2nd, Saturday, October 2nd, at our local state, University of Fresno. Between who? Oh, yeah, between the old Meg and Jerry show. You have Meg on one side and Jerry on the other. But here's the wild part. It's a private one. People are, you know, they're going to have certain tickets out only to certain friends of Fresno State University and the football team and all that other stuff. Fortunately, what? It's public? But it's a football team. If they've got a football team, it can't be very public, right? Crazy place. Fresno's a very crazy place, by the way. But weird part about it, see, I know one of the professor emeritus there, so he can slip me a few tickets. So I can go in there and have a little bit of fun before they drag me out. Yeah. And one of the best parts is actually because earlier in the day there's a celebration of the 20th anniversary of the Fresno State's Peace Garden. They have a statue of Mahatma Gandhi, Cesar Chavez, Jane Addams, and
Hugo Chavez.
Not yet. Oh, please. Oh, of course, forgive me. Dr. Martin Luther King. And they're having events put on by various students. So it's going to be a big event outside where the debate's going to be, which is at 11 o'clock, like I said, private. And, of course, they're going to have one station. It's actually the Spanish station, but they're going to supply the English. They're going to allow them to speak English and, I guess, do subtitles in Spanish, which is really weird, as well as the Fresno Bee. Of course, these are organizations that really don't like me. For over the years, I'd write them a letter to the editor, never get to the Fresno Bee. They actually called me a few times saying, are you really existing? Is it really, this is what you wrote and everything? I said, yes, I did. Were you able to print it? Oh, yeah, sure, in 10 days. 10 days, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, nothing. I even wrote a couple of letters which I had the news, some of the reporters there. I had them look it over before I turned it in. Because they said, oh yeah, this is fine. This will get in there. Never has. And so, like I said, the Fresno Bee and I, we really don't get along too well, it seems like. I guess it's Jim Boren. This is a guy who, about a few years ago, when our Peter Cameo was running, Jim Boren of the Fresno Bee complained in his article about the Modesto Bee for running an article about Peter Cameo. I mean, they didn't have anything in the Fresno Bee, and he's complaining about someone from his sister city that is the Modesto Bee? That doesn't make any sense. But this is the mentality there. Now, of course, there is something that Laura will be calling in on KFCF 88.1 FM Wednesday, October 6th, and you have confirmed that, at 3 p.m. Now, of course, down here, you'd have to hit the internet, www.kfcf.org. It's a 30-minute show, but she's going to be on the airwaves. And for Fresno, that's pretty good. Close. Yeah. KFCF. I know you've got KPFK down here, and there's KPFA up north, as well as B in Berkeley. Let's not forget them. And like I said, down here and up there, you'd have to get it on the internet to hear it, though. But of course, we're going to try to record it anyway. And Mike, where'd you go? There you go. This little event over here with you and Laura, it would be appreciated because I'd love to put her, what she does, on my Facebook and with all my hundreds of friends out there that see it and everything, because I get a lot of people saying, hey, yeah, she's right. I don't want that ridiculous Megan Jarrett, and you're about to say something.
I don't know how many of you don't know that we have two Facebook groups, but the only thing we've done, and now this is already in my Facebook friends, and I invite you, if you know me, I'm going to have to wait for that. If you can search for it, one identified money, one identified money, and if you can search for it, you have to join it, and you can just add it. And that's one of the ways that we distribute our free card subsidies to the video itself. If you just go on to Facebook and just search for Green Card in California, go to them, ask to become a member, and then we can just say, okay, then. We also have a Twitter account that sends the stuff out. We also have an iFace page that sends the stuff out. So you know where to go on that.
Two last things. Remember the button and Laura? We'd love to have you in Fresno in October, please. Thank you very much.
So a couple of things. Mike just said Marnie, and I'm wondering how many of you know about greenchange.org? Okay, how many of you don't? That's what I thought. Okay, so greenchange.org is an amazing website that was created by Marnie Glickman and her husband Gary Ruskin and a bunch of other people, and it's a green. I can't do this when other people are talking. Okay, she says it's not a political, you know, that it's not a Green Party directly website, but it's all about our Green Party values. It's a social networking site. I tried to avoid getting on Facebook for a long time, but when she finally joined it, I went ahead and joined it too. She does a lot of distribution, and I just want to say to Deacon that she's already organizing protests for the San Rafael event. So if you go to the greenchange.org website, you'll find some of that organizing, not that we can't add other organizing to it as well. Another fun way to keep an eye on what's happening in the Green Party is, like, I have Google Alerts, and I have a Google Alert for Laura Wells' name. So, though unfortunately there's a model, an athlete, and somebody else has the same name, so I get all those too. But I've been keeping track of all that information, and I just decided I'm creating a website with all the news and videos I find about Laura, and then she's just going to link to it from her website because it's easier for me to maintain it myself. And because I have that Google Alert, I knew that she had just come out with the first part of that new video that her daughter is doing. And I got a Google Alert yesterday that is now posted on Sarah Palin's website. I don't know why, but I thought that was... I don't know whether it's, you know, whatever. See, there was one more thing I wanted to say, but okay. All right.
Just a quick plug again for this postcard campaign. Anybody who's a candidate really should be carrying a few of these postcards because, you know, when people say, you know, there's not enough money to educate our children, there's not enough money to provide services in our country, I showed them this. This is good at the local level, at the state level, at the federal level. You know, the entire cost for Social Security benefits paid out this year was less than the red part of this chart. This is the discretionary budget for the United States for this year. And they're talking about dismantling some of the, you know, reducing our benefits in Social Security. I served in the past as co-chair of San Francisco's local homeless coordinating board, and I'm here to tell you that the amount of scrutiny and auditing and all of that of homeless services, I believe that that's probably a lot better, a lot more than what the folks that are getting military contracts have to endure. And we need to change that whole culture. So, well, there we go. Yes. So there's a set of four postcards. One of them on the back is addressed, Dear President Obama. One is, say, Dear Representative. And then there's two Dear Senator cards. Here's a generic one that has a little bit of green across the top. I tell people regularly, I designed this. There's red and there's green on here. There ain't no blue. Well, I mean, it's not funny. Well, actually, the votes, it's quite serious. It's quite serious. Because last year when the vote took place on the red part of this chart, it was all one bill. In the entire House of Representatives, 435 members, there were only 34 that voted no. In the U.S. Senate, out of 100 senators, 7 voted no. Only one was a Democrat, Russ Feingold from Wisconsin. 6 Republican senators voted no. There ain't no blue in this chart. It's quite serious. And this is a very concrete thing that separates us from the Democrats and Republicans. Is this information. Now, this does this little slice here, a lot of progressives, they talk about how we need to be out of Iraq and Afghanistan. I think that's great. But the bigger thing is all of the rest of the military infrastructure and our huge military presence, our empire all around the world. So please, any candidate who would like to be carrying a supply of these, I don't want to leave here with any. You know, they cost me. I'm asking people for contributions, but any candidate who wants to have a stack of them, I'll give it to you. No problem. I'll even mail them down to you. So carry them, please. Thank you.
Okay, so we're moving on to our next agenda item, which is... It is, if I can find it, platform planks. Oh, proposal ballot initiatives, yes. Yeah, I'd like to do a little report on this and then ask Richard, as you eat your apple, would you please come here? I think I've heard... that this might be the very first time we've actually reached quorum. First time in a couple of years. Oh, I thought it was like ever. I'm so excited. Okay, but we actually had, I believe, 20 counties reporting. Last time it was like 7, so yay. And I can tell you that phone outreach, talking on the phone, is really makes a difference. It made a difference this time. It's a pain in the ass. By those calling and receiving the calls, but it works. So, Richard, please, you want to go on that mic?
Andrew, you've already done it. Richard Gomez, Fresno County. Here it is, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a miracle. It happened. Polling through email. 20 counties, which is more than the quorum, were able, through hard work with Kendra, myself, Bert, my voice, I'm getting to him. Don't forget Bert. I can't think of his last name. If it was Gomez or Gonzalez, it'd be easy for me. I couldn't help that one.
Howard.
That's it.
Quiet.
I don't want to get on the record here. And maybe a little help from Key and Harder, too. Okay, and the best part about it, that's what happens, we're eating apples. The best part about it is we wound up just calling about as many people as we could, bugging, bothering, harassing you, and it worked. 20 counties were able to send in their recommendations for their counties. A couple of them just simply abstained because due to various situations, but because they abstained, we were able to count them as part of the quorum. So we achieved, another problem with apples, you can't say cheese to cheese, achieved success in a strange sense. We had about 20 counties, like I said, and the results were simply this. Because you need at least 80% or more for either the yes or no, and if it doesn't achieve that, you wind up with a no preference. So 19, strangely enough, with 94%, won. Surprise, surprise, yes. Proposition 21 also was a yes, as well as 24 and 25. I'll say it over again. 19, 21, 24, 25, bingo. And 23 and 26 were no's. 23 and 26, no's. And all the rest were no preference. Excuse me. No position. Thank you very much. And, of course, 18 has been pushed back to 2012. I had a joke with that, but I forgot what it was. So I want to once again thank all the counties that did, because we literally did squeeze by the 12 midnight deadline. And it wasn't easy. Like I said, I had a lot of help and a lot of people. I already mentioned their names. And if they're not Gomez or Gonzalez, I don't remember their names anymore. So I want to thank everybody who did so. We've achieved something, and of course, I'm going to say thank you in that sense.
And one big thank you to Chris Colucci, the people at Green Focus, and Barry Hermanson for getting them here, because between Wednesday at midnight and this morning, this paper got printed and got up here. And that took some work.
To give you all a sneak preview of tonight's venue, here at 7 o'clock, Pat LaMarche will be speaking. Her topic is the Green Party, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We also invite all candidates to come speak too. Pat will be showing, will be previewing a movie, a documentary on homelessness. And after that, we have two choices. We can either boogie as Greens here, or we can pass as Christian singles and go into the ballroom. I hope everyone sticks around for a fun evening.
Our next agenda item is actually a decision-making item, and we're going to go right into platform. Shane, are you presenting? Keep in mind that Shane has been Coco of platform for a little while now, and we've also had it notated that our Green Party platform is one of the greenest documents on the face of the earth.
Well, here we go, another fun part of the afternoon. What we're going to do first is the human rights, civil liberties, plank in conjunction with the healthcare plank, because these are revisions. The human rights civil liberties plank, the alterations there, which are on page 11 of your agenda packet, essentially refers to the healthcare plank and just corrects a typo down in the third bullet from the end. So that's the only change there. In the healthcare plank, which is on page 19, you'll recall that this originated from the conservation of health plank, which is an abortive plank, and the plenary decided to apportion parts of that plank to the appropriate planks. Last plenary, we decided that human rights, civil liberties was not the appropriate plank, but we should refer to it. And because of the informed consent angle, we placed the last three bullets, all underlined, in the healthcare plank, as well as the small change in the first paragraph of the background and purpose. So, do I hear any kind of questions?
Yes. I know that we're supposed to be filling out these pre-consensus forms. Yeah? Okay. So, so my question is, why aren't we doing this sort of stuff or pushing for it? Is it just because people don't have access to the agenda pack and enough time?
I received a comment.
You didn't. You just didn't receive any comments. Okay.
Okay, so does anyone have any questions then? Affirmation?
Okay, folks, we really need two things here. One, we need the side conversations to simmer down, please. We've got great hallways if you need to talk. It's a little hard, it's that odd acoustical room. So you can hear us because we have microphones, but we can hear you also real well, unfortunately, if you're talking. Also, a little pointer process. We're going to have to do a quorum check. Yeah, this is a decision that gets put down in the annals or annals of our party. So we're going to need to check to make sure we have enough delegates in the room. So if you know somebody that's out in the hallway that's got a delegate card, they're all going to have to come in and hold up their delegate card now. And would someone please, Barry, could you count? If we're going to reach consensus, we need... You have to have quorum. Okay, I'm going to ask you to please hold up your cards for a while here so we can count. Thank you. Thank you, folks. You can put your hands down now.
If there are no questions for or against, then these are the two passed.
Come on up.
I have concerns about the process. The fact is really that Michael and everybody else should have known that they could have looked at the packet online 2 months ago, or a month ago, whenever it got there. They need to, it says on the webpage, just contact any county council person to get the statewide password. Now, frankly, I didn't look at them either. Now, because I got an email message from county contact telling my county that we needed to submit the things for the ballot propositions, I made sure my county looked at that, and we did that. You know, I don't remember getting something from county contact saying we weren't going to discuss the platform amendments here. So my county didn't discuss them. I don't feel like we're ready. I mean, I'd have to make a decision all by myself. You know, like usually my county discussed it. I mean, we should have done it. I mean, I'm wrong. I'm bad and wrong and stuff like that. But I don't feel like we have enough clarity. We have too many new people that don't understand the process of how the plenary, that the packet is available in advance and you need to look at it before the meeting. And my guess is a lot of people in this room that did not see the packet before the meeting.
Peggy Cochin, San Francisco County. I feel very differently than Sandra feels. The planks were in the platform when the platform was distributed, and anyone, particularly those of us who are old-timers at Plenary, should know to look in the agenda packet and go over whatever's there, including the planks, and bring it to your county council if you choose to, just like you brought any other issue to your county council in the plenary packet. So we went over, especially the health care plank, in fairly much detail at the last plenary, and it was out there to comment on. And probably in the beginning of the morning, we should have mentioned from the platform committee, remind you all that there are planks in there and that there were the small little section to say yes or no on the planks, and make comments to get them to Shane so that during our platform committee meeting a couple hours ago, we could discuss your comments. However, it is up to you to read through the agenda packet and follow through. Thanks.
I just want to say for the record that I'm going to abstain because I just failed personally to take the time and read through them, and that's my problem, but I can't vote yes just because I didn't read them and trust everybody else. I don't like to do that. I think I'm one of the evidences that doing as much nationally does take away from the state. We just worked on 80 national platform planks, and for my time reading all of those and all my other national party stuff, I just didn't have the brain to go through this as well. So, you know, no disrespect to your work, but I just don't want to vote yes or no, but I'm going to be abstaining because I can't vote yes to something I didn't read, even though it's my fault as a delegate for not having read it.
For those of you that had a chance to review it or see something right now that you need to comment on in reference to how your county will consent vote or otherwise, we are open for clarifying questions on the human rights and civil liberties plank, the revisions thereof. Am I correct, Shane? So the mic is open to you. And as Shane has told you, these planks have been gone over and over in a few different meetings now. I'm actually doing something a facilitator is not supposed to do, and that's pausing and giving you a chance to think of a clarifying question or something.
Yeah. Just worry about the new material that's underlined. Don't look at the rest.
Okay?
So I personally read those two, and I personally don't have a problem with them, but, you know, like I know...
I have a problem with the third one, but we're not talking about that one right now. My county, you know, that we are discussing propositions, we're discussing funding candidates. We had a meeting with candidates. There's just so much you can do at a county council meeting. And
yeah, and since Michael wanted us, he's asking us to say something. I also want to comment on that, that while I really appreciate the fact that having something coming to every plenary can give us the chance to slowly work on something, if I were in charge, I would not have platform planks on every meeting for our entire history. I would plan over a two-year cycle for a time when we did a plenary on platform planks, and that was what we focused on. I personally don't have the mind to do this every cycle, and I think when Chanda's talking about competing other things, I know that our county took a lot of time to deal with our positions on the state ballot measures, and a better strategic planning of our time so that we knew when we didn't have other competing needs and could only focus on platform and then come out with an election platform for a two-year cycle, I think would be far more strategic. No disrespect again to the work now, but if you're going to talk about how difficult it was for your county, I don't think that the way we do this every single meeting is strategic.
Thank you very much, Michael. And for future strategy progression, that might be an excellent suggestion to follow through on. In the meanwhile, folks, coming back to the here and now, it was a few years back, like six, that we decided that by doing three planks at three plenaries a year, which we don't quite have, we would be able to get all the way through the platform with necessary revisions and new planks every 5 years. So it's a slow key. If we need to find a different way to do that, we're going to cover that in strategy and in future. I appreciate your suggestion, Mike. But right now we need to finish what has been printed in our agenda, which is the work on the human rights and civil liberties plank. So any clarifying questions now that people have heard us banter around this for a moment? Affirmations, yes, please. Are you on your way up here, Greg? Come on.
Jan Arnold, Alameda County, me too. On these two that we're talking about right now, these are simple, straightforward. There's nothing objectionable that I saw in them. I'm certainly prepared to vote for them.
I also would like to affirm this for this platform. And I did go through the packet. I had taken my personal responsibility to download and go through all this information. And not having been to my county council meeting the last time we met, I also took it upon myself to go to the platform committee meeting at the breakout time to make sure what has been discussed and what hasn't. And that way I know how to vote. Thank you.
Okay, I think we're done with clarifying questions, affirmations. We're going to move right to concerns. Anybody have a concern, please walk up to the mic. No concerns? In that case, does anybody have any? Mike, did you have one? Okay, we're going to move. Does anybody have any unresolved concerns on passing the point of process back there, please? I think he's correct. In that case, Can you come up to the mic, please? I don't want to set the precedent of people yelling from the back of the room, other than point of process. Thank you, Jack.
Well, only the revisions that are underlined are under discussion. Everything else is not. If you wish to put that forward as part of the human rights, you're welcome to do so. We'll consider it, yes. But not now.
Okay, having stood corrected on, we can't have an unresolved concern if there's no concerns in the first place, giving you a 5-second pause to think of one, time's up. We are in consensus on the revisions for human rights and civil liberties plan. Thank you. And I believe we're moving to tax. Am I?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let the presenter present, please.
We're moving to elections and budget on page 12. And at our platform committee meeting, we've made some changes. And I'll just go through them. On paragraph 2 of budgets, the strike-through partially has been reversed. So instead of saying drain due to the past history, the original wording drain partially due to the past history has been retained. In that end of that same paragraph, the last sentence has been broken up into two, and I'll just read the last sentence beginning with GPCA. GPCA proposes enlisting academic and financial expert help within state agencies. Full stop. Then, new sentence, we should employ zero-based budgeting. Full stop. Okay? Then the next paragraph. GPA does not support borrowing against future California lottery money because instead of much of its revenue goes to improve public education. That has changed to because that would transfer revenue away from public education. The next change is delete the next sentence. That is, we believe that taxing the winners of California lottery is a better solution. We've deleted that. And then the next sentence, the lottery was instead of conceived, which sounds very biological, we've changed it to was originated in 1984 and with a proposition. Put an A before proposition so that the whole sentence now reads, the lottery was originated in 1984 by a proposition passed independent of the legislature. The next change is a relatively minor one. The second last paragraph, second last line, instead of 30-40 years, it goes to 30 to 40 years. People didn't like the dash. They wanted to spell it out. The next change is in elections. Which paragraph? Yes. I was Yes, that's correct. We deleted that sentence. It's not a paragraph, it's a sentence. The last sentence of the second last paragraph. Yes. Then in elections, after state candidates, we insert the following, who have demonstrated a threshold of support. Right, and the second last line, after candidates, insert who have demonstrated a threshold of support. Yes, there we are. Read the whole last paragraph. The influence of corporations in elections has subverted the democratic rights of the individual. We propose clean elections where state general election expenses for state candidates who have demonstrated a threshold of support are paid for by the state government. It's more than just running for the election. On the next page, page 13, second paragraph, the first sentence, California has done better in the past, has been deleted. Then in the third paragraph, the first sentence there has been modified by deleting the replacing white phrase. So I'll read that last, that first sentence of the third paragraph. Latino voters now constitute 19% of those registered to vote, even though they will soon become the major ethnic group. Full stop. Then in the same paragraph, in the last sentence, delete as a sign of more significant change, because that's more positive than we wanted to be about Prop 11. Just delete that, so that last sentence reads, Prop 11, which passed in November 2008, prescribed a team of 14 appointed individuals of all political stripes to draft a redistricting strategy. And then we ran on the stuff about Prop 14 in the same paragraph. And in that run-on sentence, instead of third parties, we put minor parties. Okay, so that's the background part. Any questions so far? Is it fairly clear? No, it was third party. Of all political stripes. Okay, any questions about that before I go on to the actual proposal part? Yes. Yes, it is. And you'll get, well, not now. I'm presenting all the changes first, so that. Okay. So the only changes in the proposals, all the numbers here, are actually in numbers 9, 10, and 11. All the rest have been the same. And in number 9, what we propose to put after the word candidates is similar to what we had in the background. So electioneering for all state candidates, new wording, to demonstrate a threshold of support in general elections, I can't read that. Anyway, that's fine. Be paid for by the state of California, that is clean elections. Okay? And then number 10, redistricting state and California congressional electoral districts using Prop 11 guidelines as the basis. We've changed that to redistricting state and California congressional electoral districts using a system of multi-member districts and proportional representation will stop, because that's our preferred solution. Then, until such policies are implemented, the districting under Prop 11 guidelines is an improvement to the current system. Well, I'm just saying what the platform committee consents to.
There will be time for clarifying questions and affirmations and concerns when he's done.
And then 11, which... Okay. Then on number 11. Oh, okay. Redistricting state and California congressional electoral districts using a system of multi-member districts and proportional representation, full stop. Then, until such policies are implemented, redistricting under Prop 11 guidelines is an improvement to the current system. Well, but that's what we consent to. Number 11, instead of saying requiring, we'll change it to converting to, and instead of with abolition of, we would replace that with would eliminate the need for costly election runoffs and delete that last sentence. That makes it kind of more compact. So read that last, the entire number 11 now. Converting to instant runoff voting, IRV, in state elections would eliminate the need for costly election runoffs. That's it. Okay. Those are the changes. Do I need to repeat any of them?
So we have time for clarifying questions here.
I think if we have a number of them, you know, please either come up here or speak very loudly.
I'm not sure whether this is a clarifying question or a concern. I just heard Michael say that we have a five-year cycle on re-getting and making changes in platform planning. So I have some concern. I mean, mostly I love what the work, but it's that we're putting time-sensitive things in it, like maybe a year from now, Prop 14 will be overthrown. Is that the same concern?
Yeah, that's not a yeah.
This is a clarifying question and also a suggestion. In what Shane was just reading to us regarding elections and budgets, when we're using the term clean elections, remember when we were working on Prop 15 in the last election cycle, the term for publicly financed elections that was used and that we educated the public about was the term fair elections. Now, in the city of Los Angeles, where Robin and I have been working on publicly financed elections for city elections, the term is clean money elections. I propose that because the public all over the state of California might not understand the term clean elections, I suggest that every time in this proposal where we mention clean elections, that we amend it to read fair, comma, clean money elections, so that you cover both descriptions and both understand both ways that I think the electorate of our state understands it. Because if you use the phrase fair, comma, clean money, and maybe even add parenthetically publicly financed elections, at each point where we use the term clean elections, I think that will define it for the public so they can understand our platform clearly. Because I'm not sure if the term clean elections automatically sends that signal
of what it is that we're talking about, and we're talking about publicly financed elections. Thank you.
That sounds a lot like a concern. Right, but that's fine. That's fine. Any other clarifying questions on this? All right. Do you want to do affirmation or concerns first? Concerns? Let's do some concerns.
Seeing we're now in concerns, can I just respond to Michael? Michael? Yoo-hoo. You listening? Are you listening, Michael? Okay. I'm prepared to accept that.
I can't think of words to suggest instead, but I want our platform to be able to stay timely, so I think we need to be careful of wording things that are time-sensitive, like talking about Prop 14 just passing, because maybe a year from now we will have overturned it. So in a way, some way to change that a little bit, tweak it.
No, we will revise it when we have a substantive reasons to do so, like if it doesn't apply or if there is in fact a low cost. Okay. No, you have to trust us to bring it up, because that's one of the ongoing things about keeping the platform modern and up to date. No, but we do it at any rate. It's important for us. No. What we're talking about on the 5-year cycle is something that's non-controversial.
Michael Rubin, Alameda County. I have two concerns. One of them is the language.
Do we have people listening, please?
Threshold of support, which to me, without definition, is a license to discriminate. I think we either ought to define what the threshold of support is or leave it out. And then the other thing is the favorable reference to Proposition 11, which I think is totally unproven, totally without merit, in my judgment. I think that Proposition 11 is a step away from accountability. This mysterious commission, which is going through some process that no one can understand, about setting up some committee with some unknown faceless people who are responsible to no one. I see no reason to propose to even make a backhanded compliment to it. And I think that sentence that is in the current proposal should be deleted as well.
Okay, I'm prepared to delete that sentence.
Dorothy Tammany, Los Angeles County. I had a concern about number 7. I thought we had addressed raising the money to pay for needed infrastructure and other programs on a pay-as-you-go basis to remove the extra cost to taxpayers of issuing new state bonds. Did we do this
Okay.
Disregard. I'm sorry. That's been taken care of in another place.
Yes. We added predominantly, which I omitted to read out for number 7. So let me just read out the new number 7. Raising the money to pay for needed infrastructure and other programs on a predominantly, which is the new word, pay as we go basis to remove the extra costs to taxpayers of issuing new state bonds. That goes with what we changed in the background earlier on.
Hi, Greg Jan, Alameda County. On page 13, just before the proposal starts, there's that reference to Prop 14, which I guess is the last section of the election section. So that reference about Prop 14, the 2010 passage of Prop 14, creating a top two runoff is to the detriment of, what's it now, minor parties, you changed it to? Minor parties. Should be rectified by one election operating Well, that doesn't rectify a number of the problems that we oppose Prop 14 on. So, you know, perhaps that can be modified, should be partially rectified by one of it, because there's a lot of problems. We oppose Prop 14 for a bunch of reasons, and that one change you're mentioning there won't rectify all the other reasons we oppose Prop 14.
Okay, accept that.
Let's see, on the top of page 13, in the first paragraph, it says weakened non-duopoly parties, and then below that, just above the title proposal where it says, it used to say third and now it says minor parties. And then I noticed that you have definitions below that say duopoly. Could we call ourselves independent parties rather than set ourselves up as minor or third or anything else, and then and define independent party as non-corporate funded?
Okay, I accept that too.
Peggy Coates, San Luis County. I like that there was some sort of definition for threshold, because without saying threshold for candidates demonstrating some type of threshold, otherwise it sounds like we're going to want the government to support anyone who runs, and if the, you know, that someone doesn't demonstrate some sort of capability of raising a certain number of amount of funds from a general amount of people, we don't want the general public just to think we're going to fund any Tom, Dick, and Harry and Samantha, you know. So we need some type of, and if we define a threshold, this, I don't think that's what it talks about. We're talking about state candidates. If we said $5 from 4,500 supporters, well, is that fair for someone, a state candidate running for assembly compared to a state candidate running for governor? So by putting a special definition, I don't think it's helpful. I think there's some type of clean money type definition that's around. So we kind of are going along with that. So I support us writing in, demonstrating some type of threshold. So, I mean, I don't know whether you all are aware what's happening in Arizona right now, where the Republicans drafted a bunch of people to run as Green Party candidates because in their state they only need one signature to get on the ballot. And I just read today that the judge upheld that decision. Arizona Green Party had fought it. I imagine that the legal action will continue. So I think it is important to have a definition of a threshold of support, and I'm wondering if rather than financial, we could just say something like endorsement by their local. You know, that way we don't have to deal with the money, but just an endorsement of, endorsement of the state part of their party or their political party or something.
This is Jim Stoff of Santa Clara County. I was the one who suggested this threshold language.
Jim Stauffer, Santa Clara County. I was the one who had suggested the threshold language in the working group meeting. And as Peggy stated the reasons on why we wanted to add threshold, we're talking about a threshold that's going to be written into election code, not written into our bylaws. So we can't sit here and talk about county councils and stuff like that. The purpose of the statement is just to let people know that we know there needs to be a threshold set. It's just, we don't have, in a platform, if you want to set the threshold, that's going to take a huge, long document. I mean, look at the current clean money campaign and their big, long, lengthy definition of a threshold. We just want to say that we're not favoring funding every single person who manages to come up with a filing fee, that we agree with having a threshold. That's all the statement does. So I'd like to leave it in. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Greg Jen, Alameda County. Well, we already know that several other states in the country have these, quote, clean money laws, Arizona and Maine and such. I mean, we could just simply compare what we'd like to have here with what already exists in those states. So it could be something like demonstrated a threshold of support roughly equivalent to what already exists in other clean money states like Arizona and Maine. I mean, you know, it doesn't have to be exactly the same, but roughly equivalent, and that'll give us the approximation of close to what it should be.
Okay, Jim Stauffer again. And, yeah, I mean, as far as Greg's suggestion, that's fine. But let's make it a little more vanilla, like, you know, thresholds as found in current legislation that promotes this type of funding. Let's not have to mention specifically Arizona or California, just the current clean money threshold.
This is what I propose then for this wording and see if you all agree. Electioneering for all state candidates to demonstrate a threshold of support equivalent to other states of clean money rules. Okay? And then in general elections paid for by the state of California. And then we'll have fair equivalent, whatever Michael suggested. Fair clean money. Clean money. So what do people think of that as a modification?
Okay.
Any more questions?
Fine. Shane, are we ready? I took a little break there to intro our next presentation. Are you ready to test for consensus? In that case, we'd like to see if there, we'd like to call for any concerns. Please come to the mic.
I think you should state your concern, though.
Is that a concern we can address or something you can stand aside on? Oh, thank you very much, Michael. That concern has been addressed. I'll ask for concerns once again and segue right into any unresolved concerns. Hearing none, we have passage of the plank as amended. Thank you. We now will enter into a discussion on our tax plank. Yes? We actually have 35 minutes, but we're going to have to ask if we can keep comments and keep everything moving along very quickly. We have a very engaging presentation next agenda item. Thank you.
The platform committee actually didn't have enough time to get to review the tax platform. So the floor is open for any kind of affirmation from concerned folks.
Hi.
Jan Arnold, Alameda County. Once again, I rise with concerns against about the tax platform, which I have done at previous plenaries. I take a fresh look. I mean, I took, you know, I do, and this, and I did. I took a fresh look. I tried reading through it. I tried to understand it. I don't understand it. I could point to specific parts I don't understand, but I think that I'm as concerned and intelligent as the average voter. I don't think the average voter is gonna, or the average person who tries to read our platform will understand this. I'm not even sure exactly which parts I don't agree with, because there are so many parts I don't understand. And I also think it's not parallel to our other platform planks. For instance, if you look at the healthcare plank as it now exists, it's a couple of pages. This one is twice as long. Healthcare is a very complex, multi-issue kind of issue, and the healthcare plank deals clearly with a whole lot of things, but this tax plank does not deal clearly with a whole lot of things, and it's twice as long. Well, anyway, so at this point, I still don't think it's ready for our approval.
And I should say ditto. My experience is every time it's come up, I have problems with it. But I can point out one particular one that I'm particularly concerned with. That you see on page 17, number C, where it says elimination of landlord and speculator loopholes. I mean, this presumes that all landlords are rich people, and I'm a landlord, and I'm not a rich person. And if I didn't have depreciation on my rental property, it partially balance out all the rental income I'm getting from tenants who can't pay their rent. I'd really be in trouble. So, I mean, I've been told in the past that this would be taken out and it's still there. So, but I still have lots of problems in general with the way this is written.
Well, I'm assuming you've given me some research to talk about something that you haven't already addressed. In talking about the tax platform, I think Jan mentioned that it doesn't tie to any other green value. A green value is sustainable economy and getting off oil. How does the tax policy have a metric in not being regressive, but in encouraging green jobs, 100% renewable energy? Every bit of the tax policy should have as its triple bottom line, I heard today too, getting off oil and having a progressive tax structure so that we're actually reaching an objective of not being dependent on oil through tax policy. And that's one of the Commission on the 21st Century Economy was a failure. Karski and Mike was not here, but he gave testimony there too. I gave a public comments under there, and it's on my website as a PDF. I don't know, it's everywhere as a PDF op-ed. And it establishes a steady state ecological economy aspect.
Side conversations need to stop, please. It's not fair to our speakers up here. Thank you.
It shows the philosophy of tax policy not being regressive but progressive. And the fear was aired at the commission hearing at UCLA Anderson School that there wouldn't be enough revenue raised if it went from anything less than the regressive tax structure that we are suffering under.
I'm of the opinion that this entire platform plank ought to be chucked, and that we should come back with something very, very brief. I, in particular, am just going to speak to one thing that's right at the bottom of the page, is this 14, the Green Party Tax Principles. You know, everybody wants to pay the least tax possible.
Our problem is that wealthy people actually are able to buy legislators currently so that they can pay the least tax possible. I'm willing to pay my fair share. And I think that as Greens, if you're willing to do that, we should just say that. But, and that we believe in a progressive, a very significantly progressive tax structure. And you know, it just to say that, and not to be, because the way this is written here is to say, we the people, we don't want to contribute, those other people should. And the other people are saying, we don't want to contribute, you guys should. And let's instead change the whole thing and say, yes, I am the beneficiary of lots of public services, and I'm willing to pay for that. So, and I am willing to pay taxes, but those guys should too.
As a fellow VW van owner with Barry, I want to suggest an additional variant on this effort. We've failed to pass a tax plank for several years now. Nationally, we have broken up some of the economic section into different areas and some of the tax stuff into different sections. And maybe if we break up a carbon tax away from some, you know, other things and kind of separate it out for future plenaries, we might find the areas that we agree on and pass those and the other things. I know David Wilbur has had some very aggressive approaches on certain ideas that he really likes that may bring the whole rest of the thing down, but if we separate those out, et cetera, a Prop 13 section by itself might be good. So I just want to suggest that to our platform people that down the line, I'm not ready to vote for this today either, but down the line we might profit by doing that.
Any more clarifying questions at this time?
It's proper for the facilitator to ask permission to get on the stack. So, with your permission, Michael Bornstein, El Dorado County. My concern versus a clarifying question about the tax plank echoes what Barry and Mike Feinstein just said. California tax law, national tax law, or city tax laws are voluminous. We have lobbyists, lawyers, and a whole industry that deal with our tax dynamic in this state and country. I rather feel that the Green Party writing this much on taxes and trying to isolate the different echelons of who and what should pay might be a little beyond what we need to put in a document that is basically a policy direction document that would show our legislators and electeds and the public where we would head if you were to vote us into office. There's been a lot of great work on this tax plan, so I'm somewhat dissing. Some of the folks have done mega work, including Dave Wilbur, who is not here today. I would make the suggestion or question the group, if not to take the tax plank and, again, like Mike just said, break it into some different segments, especially one in a more general terms of how we would go about garnering revenues for the government. And in essence, what I'm asking the good platform committee to do is take this off of the docket and bring it back in a slightly different format. But that would be my clarifying question, is if that could be done. Something, remember, when we give the platform out into the public, or when you're presenting at League of Women Voters, or you're a candidate presenting, it's got to be something that somebody can look at and go, oh, that's what you stand for. This document is wonderful, but a little beyond our purview, in my humble opinion. Thank you.
Any more questions? A lot of these kind of concerns have always arisen, and the problem is, of course, is that everyone
needs a bit, the most basic type of document to refer to. So, one of the things is that when we say we're going to have tax reform, that means that we believe in taxes, right? And if we believe in taxes, what direction as a political party we'd like to do. Now, we all know that the devil's in the details, and the thing is that there has to be enough detail to know the direction and enough broadness to appeal to people. And I must confess that the academic kind of approach of both of David and of course myself doesn't favor that approach. Although, I think that it is possible to kind of break up these thoughts into several kind of segments as has been suggested, and which would make it more palatable. So, with that advisement, I would like all of you to give us comments and on specific things, things you like, things you don't like. What we'll do, we'll go through all the comments, and I hope when you get back to your place that you will read through this text form and will provide us with comments, because there were no comments at all before coming into this panel. None. Zero, nada. Now, I also need to say that of all the people who want to reject this and all the people who couldn't be bothered reading it, and even though they knew it was there, or they knew that there were platform planks to be read, you all need to have personal responsibility. And Greens is not just responsibility by corporations or by governments, it's also personal responsibility. So I hope that you will take that green value to heart when you give me some feedback. So I withdraw this at the moment, and what? Oh, okay.
Having already admitted I didn't take the time to read it, I don't want to say that this suggestion would take the place of that, but I have found for the last couple of years that just for my personal way of operating, that getting text files and responding to those hasn't worked well for me. And I'm wondering from our IT folks if we can think about using a blog opportunity in some form to post the plank and let everybody in the state party comment below each one. I would find it easier to go to a website. We did that with a wiki for the national delegation platform plank that we submitted, and I found that was much easier to access than trying to find in my email. So just wondering about that.
We have a very good potential addition to the platform committee, Jenny Woodward, who's offered to do just that. So I will request her to do that, and I will send a note to county contacts giving you the correct wiki address.